Welcome to the Dennis Miller Show. I am the aforementioned Mr. Miller. Look at that. He's always so polite and on time. Joining us now is Crime Prevention Research Center President John Lott, whose books include Dumbing Down the Courts and More Guns, Less Crime. Welcome back to the show, Jumpin' John.
Great to talk to you again, Dennis.
It seems I read a piece on Breitbart.com that you have put yourself in the, ironically, crosshairs of the national dialogue, and the left would appear out to smear your good name, John Lott. Tell me about it.
Well, I'm sure I'm hardly alone on that regard. I think the thing that kind of amused me were a couple things or interested me. One was how over the years there'd be so many media people that I would talk to that would reference things that they'd read about me on Media Matters. So I'd have calls from, let's say, a producer at CNN who would say she couldn't have me on the show because of the stuff that Media Matters had written about me, but is there somebody else who's like me that I could suggest that they could go and have on? And so because of a number of conversations like that over the years, I decided that when Media Matters was going to write something up, I'd write a response, explain what was wrong. But basically what I learned is Media Matters has what I would call hit-and-run journalism. They make a claim, maybe it's a misquote, maybe it's something taken out of context, or just, you know, numbers that are plain wrong. And I would respond, sometimes trying to put responses on the comment section of their website, or I'd write up something on my website, and I would try to provide the links there. They would never be put up. Or there's even a few times I'd write something at Fox News or some other prominent place, and they would ignore those things. So it's kind of like they attack, but they don't want their readers to ever know that there's ever been a response. And so for 7 years, I would try to put up comments, responses in their comment section, and they would never put them up. I'd talk to David Brock. I would talk to others who were staffers there at Media Matters. Would try in different ways to try to get them to put things up, but they would just never do it. Finally, earlier this year, I talked to a person at the Washington Post, a guy named Eric Wemple, who does kind of their media coverage, and I told him about it. And so he called up Media Matters, was kind of thinking maybe doing a story on it. And within like 2 hours after talking to them, they put up some of the comments that I tried to post over their last couple posts that they put up on me. They didn't put up everything that I'd try to put up on those couple posts, but they put up some of the things. So it was just amazing how fast they were able to respond when they thought that somebody might be doing a story on them doing that.
How aggressive do their attacks get? Because much of what you present is math, it would seem to me. So whenever I read your books, I always look at the charts and I go, well, this is... I remember the good old days when math was an empirical entity, but quite frankly, how do they go about? Is it personal? Do they go after? Do you feel like you're being scrutinized, spied on, or how personal does it get, the jabs?
It covers a whole range of things. Some of the things are personal. They'll make fun of a scar that I have on my forehead because of surgery that I had as a kid. It's just silly stuff. The scar doesn't bother me, but in one of the comment sections, I tried explaining where I got the scar. It wasn't because I was plucking my eyebrows or whatever. It's because when I was a teenager, I had a brain tumor removed. And Media Matters has still never put up responses that I've had to those types of things. You know, they've used doctored pictures of me where they would go and have my skin colored in a strange way or emphasize my eyebrows or other types of things. It's just amazing the silliness that they would go through to go and use a doctored picture of somebody. It just seems bizarre. But a lot of them would just be numbers, and they would try to discredit me by making it look like I was making more extreme comments because they'd taken something out of context, or they would just claim that I was lying about numbers that were there. And, you know, those are probably the ones that concerned me the most, and it was just bothersome when I would try to post links to the sources of the numbers. They just would never let their readers know that there was a response.
When I when you finally got Brock on the phone, did he just tell you that you were a trophy kill for them, or what did he say?
Well, I had met him at something that Grover Norquist and he had put together in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. kind of this movie night out. And after the movie, which was about the Rolling Stones, I went up and I talked to him and I told him about my concerns, and he seemed like he was going to do something about it. He gave me his card, but nothing ever came of it. I ran into him one other time later on. I broached the subject again, and he seemed to listen, and nothing ever happened. It's often the approach that I get from others there, too. You know, they would say, oh, well, you know, it's probably a technical glitch or something, which I think was the exact term that David Brock had used. And, you know, one thing that Eric Wimple had learned when he had talked to Media Matters is that for years they had a comment system where you had to get approved 12 times by the moderators before your post would automatically be put up without being moderated. I never gotten anywhere near the 12 being accepted. So, you know, their moderators just wouldn't let me get put up.
I would encourage you in the new year to get into something a little easier, like writing against Scientology. you might want to consider that just to give yourself a little rest in 2015. John's been nice enough to stay. He'll stay with us for a second segment. I wanted to talk about that in the first segment, but we'll get down to cases in the second, the December 2nd piece. I'd like to find out exactly, and like I said, I go to John for numbers. How dramatic is the numbers of cops shooting black men in this country? And then we'll go to December 3rd Fox News piece about, I know Obama, sometimes he's dismissive of strong power in the states. It would seem to me, though, is it possible that that could expand out into other police municipalities around the country? We'll talk and see if it's just Ferguson or what Holder and the president would like to see as far as domestic law enforcement. All that with John Lott. Your phone calls if you'd like to jump in there. 866-509-7268. We're back with more of John Lott after this on the Dennis Miller Show.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. Everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth?
Burl Ives always wanted to get just back on the gold standard. Showbiz was just a diversion for him. Me and Bunker Hunt were trying to buy up the silver market. Welcome back to the Dennis Miller Show. Joining us now, Crime Prevention Research Center President John Lott. His books include Dumbing Down the Courts, I believe that's the most recent one, and More Guns, Less Crime, which I believe is mandatory reading for anybody who wants to. I'm not saying you have to come out on one side or the other. I'm not dictating that. But if you're not reading that book, you're going in less informed than you should be into a very emotional, intricate discussion this country needs to have. All right. December 2nd, New York Daily News piece, John. Dangerous distortions about cops shooting black men. I saw one that astounded me by Chuck Todd. He cited a statistic, and I actually asked Christian to find it and write it down. It says, black men between the ages of 15 and 19 are 21 times as likely as whites to be killed by a police officer. I'm sure you've researched that stat. It's standing out there like a I want to know if that's true or not true. Your thoughts?
Right. No, I mean, it's surely an astounding statistic. If it is true, it'd be really damning for police. The problem is the source of the data. The source comes from the FBI reports on justifiable homicides, but it only about 1.2% of all the police departments in the country report the number. And the problem, particularly for this number, is that it's just not random which police departments report this. They overwhelmingly tend to be from very heavily minority cities. The percentage of the population that's black, for example, in those cities that report is more than two times higher than the percentage of blacks in the population in the rest of the country. And so what happens is if you get the numbers from very heavily black and minority cities, you're going to overrepresent the number of blacks who are going to be killed. I mean, if, for example, you were to get it from cities that were 100% black, were the only ones that were reporting the numbers, you'd expect it to be that you'd only get blacks killed in those places. And so, that's one big problem with the numbers that are there. The second thing is they do try to make some adjustments for the crime that's committed by different communities. But the problem is that the adjustment that they make is for all blacks as a whole compared to all whites, and not for teenage black males versus teenage white males. Well, the vast majority of violent crime that's committed or murders that are committed by black teenage males. They're not committed by 50- or 60-year-old women in those communities. And the biggest gap between whites and blacks is between black teenage males and white teenage males. And so if you were to go and adjust the numbers there by either the murder rates that those teenagers commit or overall violent crime committed by them, basically those two adjustments that you can make that we just talked about would pretty much eliminate the difference between the two groups in terms of the rate that they're killed by police.
John, I had a great caller the other day, and I just trusted the guy. And now I'll ask you to find out if it's true. And I know people go, you're so naive. And I am sometimes when I'm on the phone with somebody and they sound trustable. And this guy was from Chicago. I wish I could remember his name. But I was saying the astounding figure that I thought of after Ferguson was the figure that stuck in my head the most was when I heard that 91% of murders against blacks were committed by blacks. And I thought, wow, what an astounding figure. And then the guy called in. I can't remember if we got around to talking race, his race or not, but I think something sticks in my head that he was a black guy. He told me that white-on-white murders are nine, even more than that. Is that true?
No. I mean, they're close. 85% of whites or 84% of whites are murdered by other whites. It depends on what year. If you look over the last decade, for blacks, it's about 92% of blacks are killed by other blacks. The thing is, people end up living in neighborhoods with people like themselves. And so, and most crimes, most criminals commit crimes near where.
Yeah, that's what he was pointing at. And so it is, it's 92 for, and you would say the rough estimate over the last decade for whites is in the mid to high 80s or somewhere in there?
Yeah, 84%, right.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to get the exact figure from you because, like I said, I was stupefied by the 91, but then the guy was pretty cool. He just said, well, who do you think's killing, who do you think's killing white people? And it made so much sense to me. So it is still a startling figure, but not as startling as one would have thought before the guy pointed out that salient information. Johnny, what do you make of these cameras, man? I think... until every cop in this country has a Kevlar vest, I don't know we should start spending on lipstick cams, but it's a coming, isn't it?
Right. Well, I mean, there are obvious benefits from having it. I suppose if it were me, I'd leave it up to the individual localities to determine whether or not it makes sense. There's probably some areas, which are very low crime. They don't have many problems, none of the type that we're talking about, that maybe they could go and spend the money on something else. But... I have no problem with thinking that there are certain areas where it makes sense. I suppose the problem that I've had with the president's statement on this and Eric Holder has been that they assume that this will stop the police from doing bad things. my own impression of looking at the data is just it dramatically reduces the number of complaints made against police. And I think if people think that something's on tape, they're not likely to go and make up stories about what the police have said. That's the real change that you see happen. But you know,
John, I don't understand how can especially Michael Brown's best friend in the wake of all that, wouldn't a good first step to make sure we're getting better data is to bring, perjury charges against that man?
Well,
I mean, I don't understand how that doesn't happen. What are they saying, that he didn't perjure himself? Or can't you perjure yourself in front of a grand jury? I don't quite understand it. It seems to me a fait accompli that guy should be brought up on charges.
Right. No, I mean, I'm very sympathetic to what you're saying. Look, there's so many things that were wrong. I mean, and the guy changed the story. I mean, the beginning of times that he talked about, there's no mention about Michael Brown being inside the police car there. Later on, he changed it to saying, well, Darren Wilson reached out and grabbed Michael Brown and pulled him in through the window into the police car that was there. And that Michael Brown apparently grabbing for the gun was just him defending himself.
30 seconds, Johnny. 30 seconds.
So, I agree with you. Look, the system depends to some extent on people being honest. I mean, we can figure out with forensics and other things,
But a good first step would be if you lie like this in such a big case, you got to face some perjury charges. We're not going to do that, and we have no way of ever knowing what really, truly happened. All right, John, have a happy holiday, my friend. Johnny Locke, a stats guy. They're going to start going after stats first. Ask Orwell. Dennis Miller Show.